Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Dalet, and we are at the Mishnah in the middle of daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanesunim Batzar V'Shivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Rivka Bas Rachel. So, yesterday, 7.5 years ago, we began the 7th perek of Meseches Bava Basra, perek Beis Kor. And as we saw, the 7th parak is really a continuation of the 6th parak, which was a continuation of the 5th parak, which was a continuation of the 4th parak. We're continuing to discuss laws of mekach u'memkar, specifically where somebody sells something to someone, and the question is, what's included in the sale, what's excluded in the sale? We are in the event that there was some ta'os, it would be deemed a mekach ta'os. Where would it not be deemed a mekach ta'os? It's actually interesting that the 4th parak of the Masechta is called Hamoichas Habayis. The 5th parak is called Hamoichas Asfina. The 6th parak is called Hamoichas Peiros. So you get the sense that there's some continuity and there's some symmetry to the sequence of prakim. Really, the 7th parak could have been called Hamoicher Beis Kor. Just so happens, the Mishnah begins, Ha'oimer l'chaveiroi Beis Kor Ofarani Moicher Lach, which is the only reason why it sounds like we're maybe talking about something else. But really, what we're learning now is a continuation that really goes back to from when we finished Cheskes Habatim. It's more sugis related to laws of Mekach or Memkar. Either way, with that very brief introduction, Sakta Hilge Mishnah, Beis Kor offer ani moichalach. If somebody tells somebody else, I'm going to sell to you a Beis Kor offer. So, what's a Beis Kor? We saw in yesterday's daf, it's a large parcel of land. It's big enough for somebody to be able to grow 30 saw of tvua. Either way, so there's a moicher and a loikeach. The moicher tells the loikeach, I'm selling to you a Beis Kor of offer, a Beis Kor of dort. And he added the words, mida bechevel, meaning we're going to measure with a rope to make sure that it's a perfect Beis Kor. Then the halacha says, the Mishnah is, piches kol shehu, in the event that the moicher gave the loikeach a little bit less than a Beis Kor, even if it was a kol shehu, yanaka, he has to reimburse him, meaning because he didn't give him what he told him he was going to give him. Hoyser kol shehu, in the event that when they measured, it turned out that was a little bit more than a Beis Kor, yachsa, the loikeach is going to have to return. Meaning, being that the language that was used in this transaction was Beis Kor ofer ani moicher lach mida bechevel, that means that it has to be precise, and if it's off a little bit, it doesn't matter if it's a little bit in the favor of the loikeach or it's a little bit in the favor of the moicher, you have to make it whole. V'im amar hein chaser, hein yaser. What would be if the moicher told the lekeach Beis Kor ofer ani moicher lach, but he told him hein chaser hein yaser. In other words, puchas yaser, give or take. It's going to be approximately a Beis Kor. Then the halach is afilu piches roiv l'sa. Even if he gave him less, how much less? It was up to a roiv l'sa. So what does it mean, a roiv l'sa? So every sa is made up of 6 kavin. A roiva is a quarter of a kav, meaning if it's off by 1/24th, oy hoyser roiva l'sa, or he gave him a roiva hakav more per sa, higil, the halach is, it's going to be included. Meaning, being that they clearly stipulated hein chasid, hein yasir, so it doesn't have to be precise, and it's for that reason, as long as it's up to how much roiva hakav per sa, so that's when the halacha is going to be that it's going to be okay. Now we're talking about somebody that sold a Beis Kor, right? So a Beis Kor is made up of 30 sa. So if the magic number of where we say that up until that point where you say hein chasa hein yaser, we assume that the sale is still going to be valid, is a roiva hakav per sa. So really it's a roiva hakav times 30, which is 7.5 kavim. So if you're looking at it on a per sa basis, it's going to be a roiva hakav per sa. If you're going to look at the entire transaction, which is really the way the Mishnah presented it, Beis Kor ofer ani moicher lach, so then the number is not roiva l'sa, that's the formula, but what the number is going to end up being is 7.5 kavim. Either way, yoyse mikan. What would be if, when they measured, what they found was that the lekech ended up getting more than the Beis Kor. Not just more than the Beis Kor, it was even more than a roiva l'sa per saw within the base court, meaning it was more than 7.5 kabin above what the base core is. So the halacha is, yasa cheshbon, at that point you have to make a cheshbon, meaning now it's already too much, and therefore the lekech is going to have to return to the moicher. Okay, mahu machsoloi, what does he return to him? Mois. What he has to return to him is mois. What do you mean you return mois? The lekech's responsibility is to buy that additional land that the moicher gave him, which is a little bit of a chiddush. You would think that he should return the karka. But the Mishnah is saying that no, you can't just simply return the karka, but rather what you have to do is you have to now buy the karka. And what's going to be mavur in the sugi is that the reason the lekech has to buy it is because if the lekech is going to give the moicher now this karka back, the moicher is not going to have what to do with it. It's such a small piece of karka, 7.5 kavin. Like, what are you supposed to do with it? And as a result, we force the lekech to actually buy it, meaning if you agree to buy a base court, hey pachas, hey yasser, so it's understood that it could be you're going to end up having to buy a little bit more. But the point is, you can't just say, okay, listen, it's beyond the threshold, take back the extra karka, you actually have to purchase it. The imratza, now if the moicher wants machzalei karka, then he has a right to take back the karka. In other words, it's the moicher's responsibility, it's the moicher's shus to decide what it is he wants. In fact, the Mishnah says, v'lama amr machzalei mois, why did the initial halacha, the way Chazal presented it, be machzalei mois, liyapis koichas ha-moicher, just to give the moicher the option. Meaning, at the end of the day, it's going to be the moicher's choice. If he wants to take back the karka, he could take back the karka, but if he says the karka is too small and I don't want to take back the karka, so then he has a right instead to say that you keep the karka and I want you to buy it from me and instead give money. Zok the Mishnah, she'im shayer besada. Now the lashon of the Mishnah is a little megumgum, and the Rashbam speaks out that what the Mishnah is about to do now is, the Mishnah is about to prove what it just said, and that is that we're just looking out for the moicher. And the raya that we're just looking out for the moicher is, because what would be if the amount of overage that there was in this sale was base tisha kavin, meaning it was more than 7.5 kavin, but it was so much more than 7.5 kavin, it was ready 9 kavin. Or ubegina base chatzi kav, or what was sold was a garden, and the amount over was a base chatzi kav. Ukedivri Rabbi Akiva, or according to Rabbi Akiva, base roiva, it was a roiva kav. In those instances, machzaloi hakarka, over there, the loikeach would have a right to force the moicher to take back the karka. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that as much as we say that the moicher has a choice to say that I want the karka or fakert, I dafka don't want the karka, I want you to instead give me money, but there is a point where the lekech could force the moicher to take back the karka. And what's that point? If the amount that he's returning is a shir chashiv. What's a shir chashiv? So if it's a field, that's what the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about, 9 kapit, that would be a shir chashiv. In the event that what was being sold was a gina, so there it's telling the machloikis Rabbi Akiva the Chachamim, whether the shir chashiv, so it is a chatzikav, or the sheer chashev is a roiva hakav. What's this machloikis? The Rashbam takes us back to a gemara in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Yiral. For the gemara was talking about if you have shutfin that own something together, so sometimes one shutif can force the other shutif to do a chalukah. What does it depend on? If each shutif is going to end up with a sheer chashev of whatever it is, so then he can force his hand to do this chalukah. And it was machloikis Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. What's considered a sheer chashev when it comes to a gina? According to the Chachamim, it's a base chatzikav. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a base roiva. It would manifest itself in this halacha. Whatever is considered a shir chashuv, then you would say you can force the moicher. But the point is that you see that this inyan of machzaloi mois is mernit liyapis koicha shalom moicher, v'haraya where there's no yipui koyach really for the moicher, so then it's not machzaloi mois. Then if the lekech wants to force the moicher to take back the karka, he has a right to give him the karka. And the Mishnah concludes and says, v'loyes haroiva b'vadu machzer, elo es kol ha-moises. The Gemara is going to clarify the Lashon HaMishnah, but the point of the Mishnah is that in the event that the lekech is returning now because the overage was a little bit too much, so then he doesn't just return the overage above the 7.5 kavin, but once you return, then already you return everything. Meaning, we're saying that in the event that the sale was hein chaser hein yaser, so up to 7.5 kavin, or up to a roiva kav per sa, what's the halacha? It's considered, it is what it is, but If it goes above that, then you return. Once you're returning, you don't just return that difference, but once you're returning, you actually return everything. Either way, there's a lot of Rashbams here on the Mishnah. Just going to speak out two now and one in the Rei. So the two that we'll speak out right now is, first of all, the Mishnah began and said, Beis Kurafer Ani Moichalach. And the Mishnah gave us halachas. So the transaction is talking about where somebody's selling a base court. What's the halacha? So the halacha is if he says, Mida b'chevel, it is what it is. If you're off even by a mashu, it's a mekachtois. The transaction is unwear. Or at the very least, yach, so you would have to return that difference. If they said, hein chaser, hein yaser, so then already in piches, roi valasa, oi hoiser, roi valasa, higioi, we assume that it is what it is. There's some implied mechila. So the Mishnah began talking about a transaction of a base core, and then when it got involved in some of the math, it went off of discussing the base saw, the base core, and instead it started talking about each individual saw. Now, when we mentioned the Mishnah, we did the formula. We said, oh, if it's a roiva hakav per saw, and a base core is made up of 30 saw, so basically that threshold is going to be 7.5 kaven. But the Mishnah is a little bit interesting, says the Rashbam. You start off talking about a base core, and then when you tell me what the formula is, or what that threshold is, where we say higiyah, or where we say you have to start returning, for some reason I'm not talking about a base core anymore. If I can't, you're talking about an individual saw. So the Rashbam says that the reason we did that is because the Tana Mishnah wanted to be clear that this halacha is not exclusive to a base core. And it doesn't matter how big or how small this property is, this formula is always going to be true. So if you sell something that's the size of 5 saw, 10 saw, 15 saw, 20, or if it's a base core, it's always going to be Reva Lissa. And that's why, although the Mishnah began Beis Kor Ofer Ani Moichalach, it pivoted and it talked about the formula in the nuance, because we want you to understand that the halacha is not misuyin to the event it being a Beis Kor. Even if it's not a Beis Kor, that's going to be the halacha. One simple Rashbam. The other Rashbam, I think that's worth mentioning, is, so the Mishnah says, again, Beis Kor Ofer Ani Moichalach Mida Bechevel, if you're off even by a mashu, Yachser, okay. Hein chaser, hein yaser. So then, it's a roiva ka persa, or in the event that it's a base core, it's up to 7.5 ka. What would be if it's yoser mikan? That was a whole arichas on the Mishnah. If it's yoser mikan, yaser cheshbon. What do you return? The meicher gets to decide. If the meicher says that, I don't want the karka because I don't know what to do with this karka, the lekech has to give him money. If he says, I want the karka, you give him karka. If, however, it's teskabin, then already the halacha is that the lekech can force the moicher to take the karka. So the Mishnah talked about where it's more than the roiva lasa, and how exactly it plays itself out. What if it's less than the roiva lasa? That the Mishnah never talked about. Mishnah only talked about if it was more than the roiva lasa. What if it's less than the roiva lasa? Meaning, what's the halacha? Meaning it was under, the lekech got less than what he thought he was getting, and the amount less that he got was more than a roiva lasa. Meaning not less than a roiva lasa. Less than a roiva lasa, the Mishnah says, is higiyah. He got less than what he thought he was going to get, and the amount less that he got was the roiva lasa. So the question is, at that point, what's the halacha going to be? What are the two tzadim? So one side is that he should give him back some money. The other side is give him more karka. So the Rashbam says it's pashut over there. He would give him back the money and he wouldn't have to give him more karka. And the reason is because Meicha Tesi, the Meicha, even has more karka to give him. Who said he has karka? When the Lekeach ends up getting more karka, so now there's two choices. I can give you the karka, or I can keep the karka and give you the money for the karka. When the lekech gets less karka, if you're going to force the moicher now to come up with the karka, how do you know he even has the karka? Where is he coming up with it? So over there, it's pasha that what you do is the money just trades hands, and over there he's going to keep it. And the Rashbam says it was so pasha at the time that the Mishnah didn't even have to speak it out. And that's why the Mishnah only mentioned the case where there was too much and it was more than a roiva lasa. But it never talked about where it was too little and it was more than a roiva lasa, because that was something that was supposed to be obvious, and as a result, it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Either way, so the Mishnah is comparing where there's a transaction where the Meicha says, Beis Kurof Ani Meichalach Mida Bechevel, or Beis Kurof Ani Meichalach Hein Chaser Hein Yasser. Mida Bechevel has to be Bidyuk. If it's off by a Mashu, that's already a problem. If it's Hein Chaser Hein Yasser, then there's a formula. It says, Beis Kur Stam Amai. What would be if the Meicha didn't say Mida Bechevel, And the Moicher also didn't say, Hein Chaser, Hein Yaser. He just said, I'm selling you a base core. He said, it's Tama. What's the law? The Mar says, Tashma. Let's see if you can be poached from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, base core of Ani Moichelach, Mida Bechevel. The Rish of the Mishnah said that if he said, base core of Ani Moichelach, and he said the words, Mida Bechevel, then the law is Pachas Kolshu Yanaka. Yes, the Kolshu Yachser. What does it sound like? Hos Tama, Hein Chaser, Hein Yaser Dami. If he said, Mefurish, Mida Bechevel, that's not when the halach is, that if you're off even by a Mashahu, it's a problem. But if you would say nothing, you would just say Stama, it sounds like you would be like, Hein Chaser, Hein Yaseh, but the Mar says, Hein Masefa. If you're going to make that deek from the Reish of the Mishnah, let's take a look at the Seif in the Mishnah. What does the Seif in the Mishnah say? Him Amalei Hein Chaseh Hein Yaseh Afilu Picheis Reiv Lasa Ayhoiseh Reiv Lasa Higiyot. What does it sound like? Dafke, if he said Hein Chaseh Hein Yaseh, that's the halacha Stama Kimi the Bechevel Dami. But it sounds like if it would be Stama, then it would be like Mi the Bechevel. In other words, if you want to be Medayik from the Reisha, you have to be Medayik from the Seif, and you're going to end up with conflicting diyukim. Elam Yehal Lekel Mishnah. You know, it must be from the Mishnah, you can't be medayik anything. So the Gemara says, okay, you can't prove anything from the Mishnah. Tashma, maybe we can bring a raya from a brisa. Beis kuraf ani meichelach. If somebody says beis kuraf ani meichelach, or ki beis kuraf ani meichelach, or he says, not I'm going to sell you a beis kurafer, but I'm going to sell you ki beis kurafer. Right, big difference. Beis kur sounds like I'm selling you a real beis kur. Ki, right? Ki'ilo, it's not mamish, it's kaloi marabeis. Core. Okay. Hein chaser hein yaser ani meichelach. Or if he says hein chaser hein yaser, the magic words of the Mishnah. Afilu piches roiv l'sa. Oy hoyse roiv l'sa higia. If it's off, even by a roiv l'sa, not more. But if it's off by roiv l'sa, doesn't matter more or less. So the halach is higia. What do you see from here? Almos stama nami kehein chaser hein yaser dami. Oh, this seems to be a very good ride. Why? Because the Mishnah has three cases where the person said beis korof ani meichelach. Kibes Kuraf Ani Meichelach and Hein Chaser Hein Yaseh. In all three cases, it sounds like that you have this threshold of Beis Roiva Lisa, where the halach is, it's going to be Yegia. Which of the three do we need? The first one, it's Mefurish, L'chayr in the Braisa, Beis Kuraf Ani Meichelach, that the halach is that Yegia, Alma Stama Nami, Kein Chaser Hein Yaseh Dami. Isn't it Mefurish in this Braisa? This sounds like a good Tashma. The Gemara says, no, Hasan Prushikam Mefarish. Could be, you can be mitargim the braisa, that the braisa really was coming to be mefarish. I mean, this is the way you read the braisa. Is that a base core? Shehi ki base core. What's an example of a base core that's like a base core? Meaning, what's a situation where if a person said, I'm selling you a base core, we would treat it in halacha as if he said, I'm selling you ki base core. Meaning, ki base core is pasha. It doesn't have to be a base core. Even before it said that it's going to be ki base core. But if you say base core, you would think then it does have to be a base core. So, Debraisa, what's a muscle where you say base core? You didn't say ki base core, but we treat a ki base core. Ki going to amale in chaser hein yaser. So, if you say base core and then you say hein chaser hein yaser, even though you said base core, we treat it as if it's a ki base core. But the point is, and Enochinami, the Mishnah is saying three cases. It's not base core of ani meichelach, ki base core for ani meichelach, base core hein chaser hein yaser ani meichelach. Fakir, the Mishnah is really saying one halacha. What the Mishnah is saying is that if you say base core of ani meichelach, hein chaser hein yaser, that's when you have the halacha of reva kavlos, which was really the halacha of our Mishnah, one of the halachas of our Mishnah. The Braisa just said it in a little bit of a funny way. What's an example of where you said base core that we treat a kid base core? It's when you add the words hein chaser hein yaseh. Maskel Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi heard this pshat and he said, I have a problem with it. Imkein oy bazoi ani moichelach ani moichelach. Lomeli, why does the Braisa say three times ani moichelach? If it's three cases, then I understand. Base korof ani meichelach is the first case. Kid base korof ani meichelach is the second case. But if you're going to tell me that really it's one case, so ani meichelach, ani meichelach seems to be miutar. It should say base, or just say what Bryson wants to say. What's a case of base core that's ki base core? Base core hein chaser hein yaser el lav shmamino stama nami hein chaser hein yaser dami shmamino. Must be the way you're supposed to read the brisa is the way the Gemara thought you're supposed to read the brisa, which is the pshutai shel mikra of the brisa, and that is the brisa is coming to tell me that if you say base korof ani moichelach stam, the halacha is that it's as if you said hein chaser hein yaser, and if that's the case, it's a shma mina to the ibaya of the Gemara. Either way, mahu machzer loy mois v'chulu. So the Mishnah discussed what would be in the event that the moicher told the lekeach base korof ani moichelach hein chaser hein yaser, or based on the Gemara that we just learned, even if he said stama, where the halacha is that up if the number is not exact, up to a reva kavlusa, or in the case of a base course, 7.5 kavin, the halacha is, whatever it is, it is. It's assumed that this is what you agreed to, and this is the way it's going to be. If, however, the number exceeds reva kavlusa, that's when you have to start truing up this transaction. The Mishnah talked about it from the standpoint where the meicher gave the lekeach more than 7.5 kavin, more than a base score, meaning the lekeach ended up with the better end of the deal. So the lekeach now has to make the meicher whole. So the Mishnah said, how does the lekeach make the meicher whole? So the Mishnah said, really, it's up to the meicher, whatever the meicher wants. If the meicher says, I'll take the karka back, the lekeach can give him the karka. If the meicher says, I don't have what to do with this karka, so we force the lekeach to write a check for that additional that he got. Stating that, that's up to 9 kavin. Once it's 9 kavin, then the lekeach can already force the meicher to take the karka. And the reason is because that's a shir chashiv, kimavur, and perak hashutfin. The meicher will have what to do with that karka. The Rashbam says it's already a bechin of koifen al midas toim. There's no reason you can't take this piece of karka, and it's for that reason he's going to have no choice but to take it back. But the point is, who gets to make this decision, right? Who calls the shots? It's the meicher, says the Gemara. Is that true? From the Mishnah, it sounds like the meicher is the one that gets to make the decision. But Tanya, we learned to the Braisa, Piche Shebe Kavenu Mechzel Lekor. Oy hoiser shiva kavenu mechzel lekor. If there was too little that went from the meicher to the lekeach, and that number was up to shiva kavenu mechzel lekor, or there was too much, and that number was shiva kavenu mechzel lekor, higiyoy, then it is what it is. Yoiser mikan. If, however, the number exceeds shiva kavenu mechzel lekor, now notice here in this brisa we're talking about the gross number. We're talking about, in the event that it was a base score, which is what the Mishnah is really talking about, and we're not breaking it down per sa, but rather we're looking at the total number. But the point is, in the event that the number exceeds the Shiva Kavanah Mechzen, so what's the halacha? So then the halacha is, Koifen es ha-moicher limkar, we force the moicher to sell, vessel lekeach likach, and we force the buyer to buy. What does it sound like from the Braisa? This is all tricky halachas. But it sounds like if any one of them want this transaction to happen, we force the transaction to happen. Meaning, if the buyer says, I want to buy the additional karka, I bought all this land, I don't want you to own a little bit of extra land. Good, I thought it was a base score. Turns out it's more, it's not just more, it's more than 7.5 kavim more. I want to buy the difference. We force the meicher to sell. What if the lekeach doesn't want to buy, but the meicher says, I have nothing to do with this karka? We force the buyer to buy. But the halacha of the price, not the halacha of the Mishnah, the halacha of the price is koifer es ha-moicher limkor vessel lekeach likach. Meaning, if any one of the two parties want this additional land to be included in the transaction, they have a schus for it to be included in the transaction. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said the moicher calls the shots. Whatever the moicher wants. If the moicher wants to sell it, it gets sold. And if the moicher says, I don't want to sell it, he gets to take his karka back. In the price, it's mavur. No, it's not true. In the Braisa, it's mavur that in the event that the meicher wants his karka back, but the lekeach says, I want to buy it, koifen es ha-moicher limkar. It's not like the Mishnah. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like the meicher is the only one that gets to make a decision. From the Braisa, it's mavur that any one of the two parties has a schus for this to be included in the transaction. Right? Meaning, according to the Mishnah, the meicher gets to decide. According to the Braisa, it's not the meicher, the lekeach. It's any one of them wanting that to be included in the sale has a schus for it to be included in the sale. But the bottom line is a steer between the Mishnah and the Braises. The Gemara says, "Hasam over there, kigoin dav yekira meikara v'zol hashta." The oilam, the time of the Braises holds what the time of the Mishnah holds, and that is the moicher is the one that gets to make this decision. Okay, so what does the Braise mean when it says koifern as ha moicher limkar? I thought the moicher gets to decide. If he doesn't want to sell it, he doesn't have to sell it. So the Gemara says that what the Braise means is something else. The Braise is talking about where the price of this karka fluctuated. Meaning, initially, when they sat down to make this transaction, the karka was worth more. And in the meantime, the zol hashta, now it's not worth as much. The amrina le, we tell the meicher, I aris yavisle havle kizula da hashta. That we tell this person that if you want this to be included in the sale, meaning you want to sell it, which is something that you have the right to do, that's fine, but you're going to have to sell it based on the current price, which is the cheaper price. So koifen es ha-moicher limkar doesn't mean we force him to sell. In a vacuum, that's not true. If he doesn't want to sell, he doesn't have to sell. What it means is that if you decided you want to sell, we force you to sell it at the cheaper rate as opposed to what the original price was. Meaning, sokat ayit chamina, that being that this is really part It's a hemshich of the original sale. So maybe whatever the price that was agreed upon originally, that's what this should be included for as well. Kamash malon, that koifen as a moichel limkar based on the zula de hashta. So in the event that it goes down in price, that's what we're going to... But the Gemara says, is that true? But Tanya, we learned to the price. So kishuhu noisen loy noisen loy kishar shalokach mimeno. I'm a first price that addresses this point. So you're making an oikimta in a price, right? The price didn't say what the Gemara just made in oikimta, that it means to say. Price is just spoke in vague terms. And the Gemara is just trying to be miyash of a stira between a price and a mishnah. So it... retrofitted some sort of pshat. Oh, but the Gemara says, your pshat, it's a nice pshat, but it's actually kenegana before the Braisa. The Braisa says, kishu noisin, in these situations where you're truing it up later, you noisin kishar shalakachim, and you go back to the original Braisa. The Gemara says, hasam over there, you're going to have a zula meikar v'yakulei hashta. There it's talking about, was just the opposite. Where originally it was cheaper, and now it went up in price, then you go back to the cheaper price. But where it was more expensive and it went down, so then you go based on the haintiger price. So it's always going to be to the benefit of the loikech. That's basically the way it's going to play itself out. So in the event that there's a price fluctuation, it's not pshat you look at basa meikara, and it's not pshat you look at basa tavarmana, basa hashta, right? It's not none of the above. The cheshbon is, it's basically always yad haloikech al yoina. So if it was cheaper then, the Lekeach can buy it per the cheaper price, which was then. And if it's cheaper now, then it's going to be sold based on what the price is right now. Either way, going back to the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Shemeshayer Besada, Bes, Beis, Tisha, Kabin, V'chulu. So the Mishnah said that in the event that somebody sold a base core and he said the magic words, Hein Chaser, Hein Yaser. Or as we saw in the Gemara, Ibayilu, Shmamina, even if it was stuck, then the halacha is going to be dead. Even if the number is not a perfect base core, still the transaction could be a transaction. Stating that, if the overage is aggressive, it's a little egregious, it's intense, it's more than a roiva hakavla sauce, and now already we're pushing our luck, and then already the halacha is going to be different. So what's that number in the event that it's a base core? In the event that it's a base core, if the number is going to amount to more than 7.5 kavan off, so either the lekeach took more than 7.5 kavan above the base core, or he got more than 7.5 kavan less than the base core, a little bit of a tongue twister, so then the halach is yachser, and like the Mishnah said, you have to return everything. You don't just return that overage to get it to the point where it's going to be the 7.5 kavan, but you actually are going to have to return everything. Now, another thing we saw in the Rashbam is that the 7.5 kavan, the base core, is lav dafka. In fact, that's why the Mishnah said roiva l'sa, because the Mishnah wanted to make a point that it's not a din in a base core, but it's always going to be a roiva l'sa. Okay, fast forward to the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said that, okay, let's say it was more than the 7.5 kavim to the base core that the lekeach got, so now you have to return. What do you return? The meicha gets to decide what he wants, right? The meicha says that I want the karka, he takes the karka. If the meicha says I don't want the karka, we force the lekeach to buy the money. We force the lekeach to give him money to buy the extra karka. What happens if there was a price fluctuation? It always goes to the benefit of the lekeach. If, however, the overage was already 9 kavan, right, that was the last halach of the Mishnah, if the overage is already 9 kavan, so then the halach is, the lekeach can force the meicha to take it. And the reason is, because less than 9 kavan, what's the meicha going to do with this karka? So midin, zenenev, zalichas, midin koifen, amidas time, the meicha ends up getting the advantage, right? The reason the meicha gets the advantage is because there's like a midas time component over here. That's the reason. It's not because of anything else. So it's for that reason, he's the yad elayon. Once it's tes kavan, so you have to do with a field that's test common, dear Dalach is going to be different. Stating that, the Gemara is going to bring a big machloikis now. It's only a few lines of Gemara, but it's a big machloikis. I don't understand. Pasha Pshan and the Mishnah, machloikis Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Amr Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, test kabin sha'amru, vafilu bebiko gedoyla. Rav Huna said that this halacha of test kabin means that in the event that the overage is more than roiva kavlusa, and if you add up that number, the number is going to be teskaben, that's when the halach is that you return. As opposed to what the Mishnah doesn't mean, says Rav Huna, and it'll be a little bit clearer when we see Rav Nachman, that in the event that the overage is teskaben lusa, then the loikeach automatically has to give back to the Moicha. In other words, when you determine whether or not you have to return or you don't have to return, there's one formula that you have to take into cheshbon. Roiva l'sa. That's the only thing that matters. And that's why we spoke at the Rashbam twice. It's nothing to do with base score, nothing to do with 7.5 kappa. There's a din roiva l'sa. So let's say somebody bought some huge piece of property. He bought 10 base scores. Okay, so then the number is going to be 7.5 kavin times 10. And as long as it's within that ratio, for every saw, there's a roiva hakav of overage, we apply that there's going to be a mechila. What's the halach of test kavin? The halach of test kavin is that in the event, that you now are returning. Why are you returning? Because it's more than roiva kav v'sa. Then there's a shiloh. What do I return? Do I return the money or do I return the karka? So ordinarily it's yad moicher al yoyna. Over here the chiddush is that it's not yad moicher al yoyna, but over here when it's test kav, the loikech has a right to tell the moicher that mitzad koifen abid this time, there's no reason I should have to give you the money and I can force you to take the karka. But the point is that's this halacha of test kaven. Either way, Rab Nachman said, Noise shiva kaven umechza l'chol kor v'kor v'i ikka milsi yaseir l'tisha kaven hadith. I mixed up the shittas. The shittas are just the opposite. Rav Huna says, tisha kaven sh'amru v'afilu b'bika g'dayla. According to Rav Huna, if there is an overage of tisha kaven, even if it's a bika g'dayla, even if it's the same exact methodology, the shittas are just the reverse, that in the event that you have this bika gedoyla and the overage was tisha kaben, so then the halach is, once this tisha kaben of overage, so the halach is, it's automatically going to go back. Meaning, as much as the Mishnah said, roiva l'sa, and the Rashbam made a big deal about the fact that roiva l'sa is not shiva kaben umechza, but at the same time, once you hit the point of tisha kaben, at that point it's automatically going to be yachzer, even if it's not going to conform anymore with this cheshbin of, it's not going to conform anymore with this cheshbin of roiva l'sa. Meaning, as much as the Mishnah said roiva l'sa, that's the magic number, it's up until tisha kaben. But once you hit the number of tisha kaben, at that point it's automatically going to be a situation where you can give it back. In other words, when the Mishnah says tisha kaben, then Mishnah is saying two things. Number one, the Mishnah is saying tisha kaben as it relates to the loikeach having a choice to either buy it or give back the karka. Once it's tisha kaben, as much as the meicha ordinarily gets to make the decision over here, if it's tisha kaben, I can force you to take the tisha kaben. That's one thing. The other thing is that once it hits tisha kaben, at that point, you don't look at roiva l'sa anymore. Roiva l'sa is up to tisha kaben. But once you hit the number tisha kaben, at that point, it's not going to be negeya. That's Rav Huna. Test kaben sha'amru v'afilu b'bika g'dayla. Even if you have a bika g'dayla, I don't care how big the bika is. But once you hit the test kaben, that line of tisha kaben is going back on both halachas of the Mishnah. Rav Nachman said no. Lois and shiva kaben umechza chol kor v'kor. If you sell 10 kors, so for each kor it's going to be shiva kaben umechza. Okay, so what's the halacha of tisha kaben? The ikka milsi yaseira. If the number exceeds the roiva l'sa and it adds up to tisha kaben hadri, then you have the right to give back the karka, and now the moicha is not going to have a choice anymore. In other words, the din tisha kaben is only going back on the seif of the Mishnah, it's not going back on the reish of Mishnah. So according to Rav Huna, tisha kaben is going back sai on the reish of the Mishnah, sai on the seif of the Mishnah. In the seif it's negeya, who gets to decide what we're going to return. In the reish of the Mishnah it's negeya, the shear where we say yachzer. I mean, even though ordinarily it's roiva l'sa, but over here it's going to be yachzer. According to Rav Nachman, the din of tisha kaben is only going on the seif. Is it Rav Nachman? Rav asked Rav Nachman from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said shim shayir besada base tisha kaben. Right, the Mishnah said that in the event that there was too much in the field, and what was that number? Tisha kaben. What's the halacha? You return it. Lav dezavon lekurayin. Doesn't it sound like even if the amount of the sale was 2 kors? Now the Mishnah started off base kor off ani meichalach, but it sounds like a little like it's a maimer al musker. So even if it was 2 kors, once you hit tisha kaben, you automatically give it back, which was was Rav Huna. The Gemara says, "Loi, the zaman leikur." It's all about where it was a kor. Ubegina beis chatzika. The Mishnah said that if it was a gina, then the number is beis chatzika. Lav the zaman leisasayim. Doesn't it sound like? Doesn't matter how big the number is, it's always going to be a beis chatzika. Meaning, it doesn't have to conform with a ratio. Loi the zaman leisa. It's talking about where he sold him a specific number. Ukedivri Rabbi Akiva beis roiva. Right? The Mishnah said according to Rabbi Akiva, when it's a gina, the number is beis roiva. My lav the zaman leisa. Again, it's talking about where you sold him a saw. Loi the zaman lechatzisa. Even though it was a chatzisa. So the Gemara says the Mishnah. The Gemara thought maybe, it's funny, because when we learned the Mishnah, when you learn Mishnayis, the Mishnah sounds a little bit more like Rev Nachman. But the Gemara felt that really the Mishnah sounds a little bit more like Rav Huna. The Gemara asked, the Gemara came out, Avada, Rav Nachman could very easily learn the Mishnah. But Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi asked the following Yibayah. Sada Venasas Gino, Gina Venasas Sadamai. So that number of when the Lekech can force the Moicher to take back the property depends on whether it's a Sada, whether it's a Gina. So what happens if it was a Sada and it became a Gina? A Gina became a Sada. So for a Gina, a smaller piece of property is very, very chashev. A Sada, it has to be a much larger piece of property. What if in Mitten Derinen, from when the transaction started to when now you're returning it? Right, so Naman Aleph, we talked about if the price fluctuated. Now we have where it was rezoned. Right, started off as a Sada, now it's a Gina. What's the Alocha Teku? Tana. A Braisa, in Hoya Samach Lasadeo, Afilu Kolshu Machsel Lekaka. So again, we're talking about where it's already a situation where you're returning it. It's more than Reva Lasa. What's the Alocha and the Moichi gets to decide? Do I want the Karka back, or do I want you to buy it from me? Unless it's Taskab. What's the svara? The svara is because of kaifen amidas time. Meaning, ordinarily, there's no reason that the lekeach shouldn't be willing to buy the extra, right? If it's teskaven, then there's no reason the moicha shouldn't be willing to take it. And that's basically what formulates this. So the Gemara says, Abraisa, what would be if the number is a small number, meaning it's a number that's less than teskaven, but at the same time, it's next to another piece of property that the Meicher has. So if you're going to return it to the Meicher, he's going to just attach it to another piece of land that he has anyways. So it doesn't feel like you're doing anything cruel and unusual to him. It doesn't feel like there should be a problem of Midas Sadaim. So what's the halacha? So the Braisna says, Em hoya samach l'sadeyu, afilu kolshu machsaloi karka. Meaning, if it's next to him, then the halach is you could always return it. But Rav Ashi, anybody, bar mal shetafsik, what would be if this piece of property that you want to return to the Meicher is next to the Meicher's property, but there's an amasam, there's a bar, there's a pit that's separating it. So it's next to it, but not mamish, because there's a bar in between. Amasa mayamau, what if there's like a little kval of water? Or derech harabim ma'u shatafsik. What if there's like a little bit of a derech harabim? People walk there. Rich b'didikli ma'u. What if there's like a bunch of the column there, palm trees? These things. Are they mafsik? Are they not mafsik? The Gemara says, teiku. That's already a teiku. What was the last line of the Mishnah? V'loyas haroiva bovadu machzer as kol hamoisus. In the event that you're returning, so you don't just return the roiva, but you return even the moiser. Right? So if you meditate on that line for a minute, it's mamish backwards, which is what the Gemara is about to ask, right? You don't only return the roiva when you're returning, you even return the moisa. Again, if there's a roiva, you don't return anything. If there's moisa, now you return. It's like the Mishnah, when you return, don't just return the roiva, even return the moisa. Faith Gemara, klapilaya, punkvaker. What the Mishnah should say is you don't just return the moisa, you even return the roiva. The Gemara says, anachinami, toni rovin baraf. Nachman loyas ha-moisa bovan machsoy alas kolah revotin kulin, all the revotin, right? Mitchell again was talking about a base core, all the revotin, everything is going to be returned, exhale, either way. Technical, intense-ish stuff, but just to end with Dover Be'itai Matoiv, and that is on Rosh Hashanah. So I was going through a sefer that I've had in my house for several years. It's called Kur Hashoya, and it's drushes that were given by Hagoyin Rabbi Yisachar Shloima Teichtal, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, Hashem Yimkom Damoy, the Baal Mishnah Sacher, and the author of the sefer Im Habonim Samecha. There are two volumes of drushes that were put out at one point, impossible to find, so don't even bother. But the drushes that he gave during this very difficult time was at the height of the Holocaust, and he was trying to be mechazik yidden, and kedarke b'kodesh, it's dvarim malchivim umargishim, it's literally dvarim neflam ad lamoed. So the first drusha that's mentioned in Chelik Beis, so it's Perek Aleph, are divrei kivushin that Rabbi Yisroch Shloimeh Teichtel gave Belaila HaKadosh Beleil Kol Nidre. So this was in a shtetl somewhere in Hungary, and it was in the year Tofshin Beis, so it was 1941, and it was towards the beginning of the war, and obviously the war was in full force already at that point, and the Yidden were gathered together in a bismedrish, in a shtibel, and the atzvus in the room was palpable, and they're about to say Kol Nidre, and they're about to fast, which they were fasting anyways, and they're going to be mesvadet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rabbi Yisroch Shloimeh Teichtel wants to be mechazik the Yidden. So this is how he began. He said that there's a psikta rabasi. This psikta is in Perek Mem Hei. It's called L'David Maskel. So if you're familiar with psikta, so different parashas have different names. So it's Parasha Mem Hei, and it's called L'David Maskel. So the pasuk says, "Mechaseh pshav lo yatzliach u'moideh va'oizev yerucham." So somebody that covers his averus lo yatzliach. But if you're a moideh va'oizev, if you admit, you confess your sins, yerucham, then the Eibush is going to have compassion on you. The Eibush is going to be merachem on you. So says the pasuk, "Kiven she Yisrael part in his avoynei seyem u'misfadim lufnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." When Klai Yisrael they start listing their averus and then misfadim lufnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so yleach lehem va'oiver al pesheh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're being misvada, you're being pirate, you're averis, you're saying, I did this avera, I did that avera. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to forgive you. Shenemar, ki bayoy mazeh yechaper aleichem letayir eschem, mikol chatoiseichem lefnei Hashem titaru. If a person presents his averis lefnei Hashem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be mechaper you, I'm going to make all the averis that you did go away. There's a powerful koyach to vidoy. The truth is, if you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, it's Yidua, all the Gedolei Achrayim make the stick in the Rambam doesn't even list Tshuva as a mitzvah. That's a big shaila. Is there a mitzvah eser deraisa to do Tshuva? Or is there no mitzvah eser deraisa to do Tshuva? In the Rambam's minyan mitzvahs, the Rambam doesn't count Tshuva as a mitzvah. In fact, if you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, literally chapter 1, verse 1, so the Rambam says that when a person does Tshuva, that's his lashon, when a person does Tshuva, have to do tshuva. I didn't know about that. Well, you should. And when a person does tshuva, tzarech lezvadis. You have to be mezvada. And the Rami Simcha and others, Amadaik in the Rambam, that it sounds like the Rambam held tshuva is not a mitzvah. A bevidoy b'shas tshuva does yeah a mitzvah. There's a special power of vidoy. And the psikta says that when a yid is mezvada, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to be moichel. I'm going to be mevatar on anything. So Yisroch Shlomo Teichtel. So what's the pshat? What's this koyach of vidoy? So he shtelt to another psikta. This psikta is in Parsha Lamed Hey. It's called Roni V'Simchi. Listen to this psikta. Omer lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malachi Asharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachi Asharis. It's going on the pasuk Gimolasu toy v'loyra kol yumei chayar. Eish eschayel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malachi Asharis and he says, Boyu v'oyidi alochem tzid kosim shalbane. I want to show you who my Klal Yisrael is. Sh'ani ta'antim ba'olam. I put them in this world. And kama yitzorois v'yisurim heveisi aleim ba'olam b'chol da'avada. And he said, in every generation, the Yidden have had to suffer so many tzoros. U'b'chol shah. Not just in every generation. U'b'chol shah. V'loi ba'atu b'hem. But despite the fact that I gave them tzoros, they were never boyet in the tzoros. Shekoyren es atzman rishon. In fact, listen to what a yid says when he goes through a matziv. He says, I'm a rasha. V'koyren oisi tzadik b'fnei rishon. And fakert, they say, HaKadosh Baruch was right. Ve'im oimrim b'loshen azeh. This is the loshen that they say. Aval anachnu chotonu hevinu hirshanu poshanu. Moradnu umorinu v'sarnu mi mitzvoisecho u'mishpatecho v'loi shovolonu. Obe v'ato tzadik al kol abo aleinu ki emes osiso v'anachne rishonu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malachi Asharis. Just take a look at my Klal Yisrael. You ever see a nation like this? I give them tzara after tzara after tzara. The Yiddish tzaras are what they are. And the Afal Pikein, the Yidden, they're not bayit fakert. They walk into Beis Medrash and they say, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, we did this avera, we did that avera. And we're the Rishon, v'at tzadik al kol abo aleinu. And everything that you do to us, you're 100% right. Lefichach says the Psukta, Shlomo Makali says Knesset Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech was praising Knesset Yisrael and he said, Eishes Chayel Miyamsi. This is what the Psikta says. So said Rabbi Yisroch Shlomo Teichtel, I think that's the oimek of Vidoy. says, you want to know what the oimik avidui is? The oimik avidui is that when a person has a pekel, he has a tzara, something that he's dealing with, and he's misvada, he's being matzdik dinoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying, really, what's almost superhuman. Because benoik shel ha'olam, a person feels that, like, why is this happening? But when a person is matzdik, the din, and a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata tzaddik, I'm wrong. I'll maybe understand it 100% of Azoy Yiddis. He said the koyach of tzaddik adin is so powerful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if a yid comes and he's moide va'oizav yiruchim, kivan sheyisrael partin is avayne seyum misvad mufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so yileach lehem va'oivar al pishayim. The koyach of yidu is it's tzaddik adin. That's what it is. If you're misvad, you're chatoim, you're being matzdik dinah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that has a tremendous koyach. So Yisroch HaShalim Mataychel turns to the yidin. And he says, every year Yom Kippur, this is what we do. We're matzdik the din. And this has been going on for doire doiris. But he says, I don't know if there's ever been a generation and there's ever been a kehila that's going to have the ability to be matzdik the din like this kehila does right now. He says, think of all the tzaras. And he went on and he started being pirate. All the tzaras that Klal Yisrael was going through. And he started talking about different stories that he heard about different kehilas, how they were round up and they were taken to concentration camps and they were killed and there were mass graves. And then he started talking about tzaddikim that were on the run. He mentioned the Divrei Yoel by name. He mentioned Rabbi Aaron LeBelzer by name. It's mamish, a fiery drush like you've never heard in your life. And then he said, Yidin, we're going to say vidui right now. And when we say vidui, we're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that despite all the atrocities, everything that we're living through and we're witnessing right now in the Holocaust, Ato tzadik al kol abo aleinu. Ki emes osisa v'anachnu hirshonu. And he said, when you do that, you don't know what a tumult you're going to make in Shamayim. And he says, at the bare minimum, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tonight is going to turn to the Malachi Asharis. And he's going to say, Bol v'yidi alochem tzidkosim shal bana. He said, look at this shtibel here in Hungary. That these are Yidden that they don't know if they're going to live another day. And these people haven't had food to eat. And Nebuch, the things that they're witnessing right now. And they're going to be matzdik the din. Says, you have no idea what you're going to poil in the Olamas right now. This was his Kol Nidre Drasha. Tofshin base. Mamish Dvorim the Flam Adamalay. This was Perek Aleph. So when I went through Perek Aleph, I said, I probably want to see what it says in Perek base. But either way, I'm going weiter. And Mamish, one drasha after the next was just, it was mind boggling. One of the things they talked about was he gave a drasha at some point here during this matziv. It was a sin. It was a sin. Mamisach this my kata. And at the siyum, he got up and he said, as a state in Yamshel Shloima, that Yamshel Shloima had a havamina. He wanted to institute that when you make a siyum, you should say Shasimcha b'ma'oinoi. Because the simcha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has at a siyum is literally adla hafli. And then because of Eza Sibis, it didn't end up working out. But Rabbi Yisroch Shloima Teichtal told the Yidin, you see the hergish of the Yamshel Shloima. The hergish was that the simcha of a siyum is not shaykh. So he turns to the Yidin and he says, we're here now for a siyum. And he says, we have to be besimcha. You have no choice. Shasimcha b'ma'oinoi. There's an incredible simcha. But he says, how are we going to get ourselves to be besimcha? Like, how are we going to put ourselves in such a matzav? Like, the tzoros are so terrible. Come, we have what to eat right now at this sim, right? So how are we going to put ourselves in a matzav of simcha? See, he said like this. He said that Rabbi Shiel Kutna, and this is in the back of his Sefer Yeshua's Malkos. There's like a few pages of Divrei Agada. We've quoted from it a few times over the years. It's called the Kutei Torah. It's like 30, 40 small shtiklach. It's Divrei Agada. One piece is more not shayach than the next. So he has a piece in Parshas Yisroi on the Pasuk Vayichad Yisroi. So everyone knows, Rashi says in Chumash, what does it mean Vayichad Yisroi? Yisroi had gefreit, right? Yisroi was happy. But Rashi means another pshat. That it means Shenasu psoroi chidudim chidudim. Right? On the one hand, he was happy. Yeah, you fagined. But then again, a little bit, from the other side, he didn't fagin so much. Right? Yisrael came, he was a guy tzedek, came from a different world. And a little bit, it was bittersweet. So, Reb Shula couldn't ask. He said, how did Rashi know that? It's Divrei Chazal, of course. But where did Chazal come to this? That Vayicha doesn't, maybe he was just happy. Maybe he was pashut besimcha. Mehecha teisanat. So he said a dover nifla. He said that we know this different lashonis that you find for simcha. Right? The Goyim talks about 10 lashonis of simcha. This simcha, this sasin, gilorina, ditza. One of the lashonis is chedva. Chedva. Chedva is a lashon of simcha. But each lashon of simcha has a nuance, right? It means something very, very specific. So he said, what's the nuance of the word chedva? So he said that the Navi Nechemya said, Vayomer Nechemya, hu atur shasa, v'ezra ha-koyen, ha-soifer, v'ha-leviyim, ha-mevinim es-ha-om, l'chol-ha-om, ha-yoyim kodesh u-la-shem alaykeichem. Altis ablu, v'altifku. So when did this pasuk take place? Took place on Rosh Hashanah. And the Yidden come together on Rosh Hashanah, and Nechemya is trying to be mechazik the Yidden. And he tells him, altis ablu v'altifku. He said, don't mourn and don't cry. Why? Because today is a Yom Kodesh. So Rashi ki Yom Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah today. It's a holy day. Ki boichin kol ha'am ki shomim es divrei ha'Torah. Because when Nechemya was given, and of course this is the beginning of Ayishen, the Yidden Adon Averis, they would be Mechal Shabbos for Hesir. They were married to Noshem Lachrius, and Ezra and Nechemya to be Mechazik the Yidden, this new bris that they're going to make. V'chulu v'chulu. But the bottom line is, the Yidden were mourning. Not just that, they knew that this second Beis HaMikdash they got paled in comparison to the first Beis HaMikdash. So he tells him, you can't cry. Now, so he told them as follows, I want you to go home and I want you to eat fatty foods and drink good wines, and you should be mekayim some form of mishloach manas. He said, don't be sad, because if you're going to be bechedva, if you're going to be besimcha, that's going to be your strength. Your strength in this moment is going to come from you being besimcha. And this is the makar to, yeah, fasting, not fasting. Rosh Hashanah is. There are mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. It's not a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. The Shagasaya Vadvarim Atik. But Sned Rav Shila Kutna. What was the Lashon that Nechemya used? He said, Al te otzfu, al tifku, al tisablu. Why? Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. He said, the word chedva means when a person really doesn't feel like being happy. It's an ace lift, guys. That's this man that it's in. But afilu hochi, he's miskaber on whatever his matzav is, and he's besimcha. He said, that's what chedva is. Oiz v'chedva b'mkoymoy, we find by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how's it possible? Other oiz, other chedva. The Teretz is that even when there's a matzav of oiz, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oiz v'chedva b'mkoymoy. It's going to be chedva. We learn from this pasuk of v'al tei otzvu ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschen, lavu alai v'ani pareya. A person could be in a matzav of anius, where he has to make Shabbos, he has to make yod, he doesn't have a dollar. He doesn't have anything. So Akdeibish, the love of life, borrow money on my cheshbon, I'll make sure it gets paid. Go borrow money. What's the makar? Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Because Amolad Yidav Zayn b'chedva. This is all for Rav Shila Kutna. So Rav Shila Kutna said, he said that Chazal, the Torah said that Yisrael was besimcha. But what was the word the Torah used? Half of a fellow. Vayichad Yisrael. Vayichad is a lashon of simcha. Which word of simcha is it? It's chedva. That's vayichad. So that means the opposite of gestecht. Because if it wasn't gestecht, it would have been vayismach Yisrael. So why is it vayichad Yisrael? Must be there was another hergish. You know what the hergish was? It was chidud and chidud. And that's what was going on over here. I'm shdvarim deflam. So he said, that's how Chazal knew it. They're not stam going and being dan Yisrael lekav chayva. But from the choice of words, from the fact that we picked the word chedva, vayichad Yisroel, vayislois, yeah, Yisroel is besimcha. But at the same time, it was nasa besori chidudim chidudim. There's another hergish going on. And because there's another hergish going on, that so this is when he turns to the other and he says, I can't be teveya simcha. I can't be teveya sasin. But I'm being teveya chedva. So I know it's hard right now. It's a shver and matziv. I'm a medav zayim v'chedva. And he said that if we'll be v'chedva, we'll be ma'ir by a kodesh baruch hu, sha'simcha al kaponim, there'll be chedva by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it'll be oiz. We see so much oiz right now. But it'll be oiz v'chedva. And in the schus of that chedva, who knows the ashpoiz toivis that we could bring down on this world. Solid, no? This is good divrei kfushim. This is some of the raid that Rabbi Sacha Shlomo Teichel was talking about. Another drasha that really got me. In the middle of one of his drashas, he turns to the chevra and he says, look at your beged. What were the Jews wearing in that time? He said they were wearing the yellow Star of David, right? That's a Jude on it that every Yid was forced to wear. And he said, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, are forcing us to wear this. And the reason they're forcing us to wear this is because they want to denigrate us, remind us that we're a Jew, and this is somehow supposed to put us down. He said, but they don't realize what this is. You know what this is? This is the Magen David. Now, in terms of the history of the Magen David, this is already above my pay grade. I mean, the one thing we all know is it comes already from Rezil HaMalach. So obviously has a very, very, very early source. And there's a lot of significance in Kabbalah to the Magen David. If you ever go to Europe and you visit old shuls, almost every single old shul has a Magen David. It was always a symbol of Judaism, and it's somehow related. It's related to David HaMelech. Was that literally the shield of David HaMelech? Veisachnish. But the bottom line is the Magen David has a Makar Kaddish and a Makar Neman, and it definitely represents the shield of David. That this was the Magen of David HaMelech. So he said that Nazis are forcing us to wear this Magen David on our chest. And so what they don't realize is that when the Yid sees the Magen David, what he remembers is who the real Magen David was. Who was the Magen David? It wasn't the Koichi Vaitzim Yadi of David HaMelech. The real Magen David was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Magen of David HaMelech. And really, he said, I think this is the biggest bracha in the world. We have this bracha that the Eibishter gave us, that every time we look down, we see the Magen David, and that reminds us of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us as a nation, and no matter what they try to do, they're going to be unsuccessful. And then he quoted from the Tzroir Hamar. Right, so who was the Tzroir Hamar? Rabbi Avram Saba. Everyone knows he was a Katman, but who was he? He was the Beis Yosef's grandfather. He was the Beis Yosef Shver's father. That's who the Tznor Amar was. He was one of the Megurshei Svarad, one of the Kadmoinim, one of the Kedoshim of 500 years ago. So in Parshas Vayechi, the Tznor Amar talks about the Magen of David, the shield of David HaMelech. And it sounds like it was a real physical thing. And he says that on the Magen, David, it said Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. That's what it said. And the Tzora Amar said, why did it say Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph? Because it's Rosh Tevois Ato Gibor La'olam Hashem. Hashem as an Aleph Dal Nun Yud. And that's why it's an Aleph. So he says, every single time you look at that yellow star that says Jud, what you're seeing is Ato Gibor La'olam Hashem. And you know, v'ni kesi damam lo'ni kesi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take revenge, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that Klai Yisrael is going to exist. And this is not something we have to worry about. And he said, maybe, he said that Bilam HaRosha said in Avua, he said, Dorach koichov mi Yaakov, v'kom shevet mi Yisrael, u'machatz pasei moyov, v'karkol kol b'nei sheis, that there's going to be a day that there's going to be a koichov that's going to come from Yaakov. And this koichov is going to have the ability to be machatz pasei moyov, v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. This star is going to somehow be able to defeat all our enemies. He says, I believe this star right now is what's going to give us the koyach to be able to overcome this tzara that we're going through right now. Again, just a few excerpts from some of these drushes that Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichler spoke about. Why are we talking about this? Because the first one was about Kol Nidre, a little bit Dava B'itay Matay, but I just want to end with one last stickle that I saw. And that is, he brings, and this is in Perek Gimel, a vart that he heard from the Baal Tzemach Tzadik, Rav Menachem Mendel Mivishnitz, refers to him as Rav Mendel Mivishnitz. And he brings a Dover Nifla that he said. Rav Mendel Mivishnitz asked the Kasha. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vayetze, so Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava, Vayelach Harona, Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael, he was leaving Be'er Shava, he was in Beis Shein Ve'Ever for 14 years, and now he's going to Haran. He's going to Haran. Tina Shidduch, he has to go get married, so he's going to Lavan. And on his way, Vayishka b'makamahu, he has a dream, he sees the Sulam, Malachi Elikim, Oyvim v'yardim bay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and he tells him, Ufaratzta yomav akedim v'tzafayin v'negva, v'hinei anoichi imach, I'm going to be with you, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teylech, v'ashivoyse elu adam azois, ki lo yezovcha ad asher imosisi eis asher dibarti lach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yaakov and he says, listen, I know you're a little bit afraid, you're worried, leaving Eretz Yisrael, you're going to Lavan now. Esav wanted to kill you last time, we checked. And as a result, your life is somewhat at risk. He says, you have nothing to worry about. V'hinei anoichi imach, I'm going to be with you. U'shmarticha v'chal asher teylech, I'm going to watch you wherever you're going to go. V'ashivois el adam ha'azois, I'm going to return you to this land, back to Eretz Yisrael. Ki lo yezovcha ad asher imosisi es asher dibarti loch. And then, since Fatima, with an exclamation mark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, I will not leave your side until I do everything that I just said I'm going to do. It's from Mendel Vision to ask about Tzemach Tzadik. He said, in the Pasuk, it sounds a little bit like Hashem tells Yaakov Avinu that I'm going to make sure I return you safely, and then you're on your own, right? What does he say? Ki lo yezovcha, I'm not going to leave your side, ad asher imosisi eis asher dibarti loch, until I do everything I just said I'm going to do. Meaning, once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, then maybe I'll leave you. Could be. I'm not promising I'll be with you forever. He didn't say, ki lo yezovcha ad oylon. And his hergish was, he said, who can live 1 minute without a Kadosh Baruch Hu on his side? It's not possible. And it sounds a little bit, almost like a Kadosh Baruch Hu's telling Yaakov, I'll make sure that I return you. But once I return you, at that point, there's no promises anymore. Then I'm going to be by your side. So he said that maybe the Peshad is, based on a Maisa that he had heard from the Heilige Bar Dishofa, the Heilige Kedishas Levi. And there was a Maisa in Shahoya Kachay. There was a Yid that came to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Bar Dishof. And he told him that he was once a Gvir, and he lost all his money. He's a Yerid Menachasov, and he's in very, very, very serious financial trouble. And he needs a bracha from the Rebbe. The Rebbe has to bail him out. He needs a situation. The matzav is mamish terrible. So the Rebbe thought, and he thought, and he closed his eyes, and he was mispoinin, and he did yichudim. And the Rebbe told him, this is what you should do. There's going to be a big lottery drawing in 3 months. And this lottery is one of the biggest lotteries that have ever happened in this region of Europe. I want you to buy a lottery ticket. You're going to see you're going to win the lottery. The Yid heard what the Rebbe said. He was very excited. But he told the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, I'll be honest with you. It's a very chashuv bracha. It's actually more than I even was expecting. I didn't tell you I have to win the lottery. I just need a little help. But at the same time, bizin kreitsh medaf menochet, I think, right? He said, the drawing is first going to be in 3 months. And even then, they don't pay you out right away. He says, you understand, I need money today. I have bali chovis that are literally driving me crazy. He said, not just that. I have a daughter that's supposed to get married. I promised a dowry. And now all of a sudden, it's pisakana. I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation. I need the money today. I can't wait. I can't wait until I win the lottery. The Rebbe said, listen, this is what I could do for you. Buy a lottery ticket. You're going to win the lottery. Everything is going to be okay. Nope. The Yid heard what the Rebbe said. Wasn't exactly what he was looking for, but solid haftacha. He walks outside, goes to the closest convenience store. He buys a lottery ticket, and he starts heading back home. Either way, it got dark. Back in the day, you couldn't travel when it was dark outside. So he found a kretschme, an inn, and he stopped off, and he goes to sleep in that inn. Just so happens that in that inn, there was a puritz, a very important Polish governor that was also staying there that night. And that puritz had a dream. And in his dream, somebody comes to him, and he tells him, you know, there's a person in this inn. He's a Jew. He has the winning lottery ticket to this big drawing in a couple of months. And as he wakes up, he says, that was a very strange dream. Okay, no. A dream's a dream. So he turns over and he goes back to sleep. And he has the dream again. He realizes something's up. Wakes up, fatugs. He sends one of his misharsim, I need to speak to the owner of the inn. Calls the owner of the inn. He says, tell me, are there any Jews that are staying in this inn? He says, let me check the roster. Brings out the roster. He goes through. There's a Goldstein staying here. Sounds Jewish. Yeah, I believe this one Jew that's saying, he says, I want to meet him. They have this Jew come in front of this puritz. He says, do I know you? He says, no. Tell me, did you buy a lottery ticket? He said, I did. He says, I want your lottery ticket. He says, I can't give it to you. He says, I want it. He says, I can't give you my lottery ticket. He says, listen, I also bought a lottery ticket, and I'm more than happy to give you my lottery ticket. You give me your lottery ticket. He said, listen, I'm not giving you my lottery ticket. He had a brucha from the Rebbe. There was no way he was giving it to him. Finally, he realized he couldn't do this the easy way, so they did it old school. He turns to his chevra. They went. They roughed up the Jew a little bit, knocked him to the ground, took his lottery ticket, gave him the puritz's lottery ticket, kicked him to the side, and they went away. Either way, the puritz goes back to his room, and he had a little bit of a heart, and he felt bad what he did to this Jew. He just beat him up. So he tells one of his chevra, he says, go take 1,000 golden ruble. Give it to this Yid, you know, give him a little something because of the fact that I beat him up. Like this, I shouldn't look like such a bad guy. Either way, this Yid goes out with the Puritz's lottery ticket, with the 1,000 golden ruble, and he goes back home. Either way, the 3 months passed, the winning numbers were cast, and this Yid, of course, won the lottery. It was the Puritz's ticket. So he goes running back to the Rebbe, and as he walks in, the Rebbe looked at him, he says, no, Alts given a lady? Did everything work out? He said, oh, did everything work out? He won the lottery and he got the 1,000 golden ruble that he needed along the way. So a Mendel of Vishnitsa said, he said, Avada Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling you, I'm going to always be with you. You have nothing to worry about. I will be with you forever. I promised you I'm going to be with you forever. But this was a tkufa. There was like this bridge tkufa right now where Yaakov was like worried. What's going to be now? So the Eibishter tells him, Hini anoichi imach, ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, v'ashiv Even now, until I bring you up, I'm going to be with you too. Not only are you going to win the lottery, Yaakov Avinu, but I'm going to give you the 1,000 golden a ruble that you need to be able to get from here until there. The Eibush is always with a person, Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichta was telling the Chevra. And even during these interim periods, right, sometimes a person is waiting for Yeshua. Okay, when the Yeshua has come, it's going to be the Gevaldik of a Bizenkrechma, pun intended, right? What's going to be until you get to where you need to get? You have no worry. The Eibushin says, I got you covered. You're going to win the lottery and you're going to get the 1,000 golden a ruble you need until that point. But I was thinking, like every good Chassidus Shemaisa, there's more than one punchline. There's another punchline. And the other punchline is in life sometimes we think we have the winning lottery ticket. And then it gets taken away from us. And then you feel like your whole life was just taken apart. You don't know. You don't know what the real winning lottery ticket is. This year thought he had the winning lottery ticket. The Rebbe said, go buy the lottery ticket, you're going to win. Little did he know that the lottery ticket was going to come, the chapur patch, and it was going to come from the puritz luchtetze. We think we have it all figured out. We have nothing figured out. The Eibishter has it figured out. And we should talk about zoicha to the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. V'hinei anoichi imach, u'shmarticha b'chal ashet heilech, ashivois al Adam ha'azois, Klal Yisrael should be returned to Adam ha'azois, ki lo yezovcha ad asher emosisi, eis asher dibarti loch, v'shbi zoicha to ashnas g'ulav Yeshua, v'yisoch ha'shloim ha'taychta, Hashem yim kam domoy, sifsois of you, doivavois, bekever, and v'shbi zoicha to be as goyal tzedek, b'mher b'yameinu amin.